Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
And this is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Beth. How is it going?
Everything is good. This is not a trick episode. Just about as though I wanted to tell people because, holy moly, the fun that was had.
Oh my gosh. I think we were worried at first that maybe people would be mad because it was like a 50-minute episode.
Right. So
they listened to this whole thing thinking it was real. And then we were like, nope, it's not. But the response has been amazing.
Literally the best. Yeah. You guys are awesome. This is how we know that the people that listen to us are our people because they got it. They were like, well done. Like,
yeah.
Because we thought it was hilarious.
Oh.
So we knew that we were afraid that some of you guys would be like, I can't believe they did this. Screw them.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody was.
Nope. Not that they said to us. The people who commented were like, oh my gosh, you got us. I think some of my favorite ones were the people who were writing us privately and like
as they were listening.
As they were listening and like not realizing yet. And they're like, oh my gosh, you guys need to go on TV and blah blah blah. Or like call the cops. Like, what are you doing? And then they were like, oh my gosh, guys.
We're the absolute best. Yes. And one person wrote and was like, I forget what she said. Something like, is this for real? Mm-hmm. And then we wrote back, did you finish the episode? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, not yet. And we were like, oh, well.
I don't think she's even written back yet. So I don't know if she even, and maybe she's mad.
Yeah. Maybe.
And Daryl started following us, and so I was screenshotting comments because he was curious what people thought and sending it to him, but then he joined and commented in there too. Who knows, he'll probably like stop following us at some point, but he just wanted to see those comments. So,
and we got him a gift too to like thank him for putting the episode together and like coming on, and it's really good. I don't feel like I can say because if he listens and he doesn't have it yet.
Well, yeah, and his wife definitely listens. So, I'm going to give it to him. I don't know if I'll have time today, but this weekend for sure. And, but I'm going to take a picture of it first so that we can post it on socials. After he receives it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Also, it's your birthday, a day of recording.
Of recording, yes.
Yeah. If you guys didn't see the post on Instagram that I'm getting ready to do, then go wish her a late happy birthday. Do you have what are you doing today? I already know, but it's a cute
plan. To a brunch type or brunch like party / situation this morning in a celebration for Cardinals home opener. And then I'm going to the home opener with my friend and the Clydesdales.
That's what I was going to say. I wanted you to tell what happens.
Yeah, the Clydesdales, the Budweiser Clydesdales ride around the stadium on opening day. So I don't really care. I mean, I do care about the Cardinals. I watch them. I enjoy them. But I really don't care about the game today. Like, it's all about seeing the Clydesdale. So I better be there at 2:30 when they run around the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. It's fun.
Yeah. And then your family is making you dinner.
Yes. Yes. And I bought creme brulee for dessert.
Yes.
I saw the store the other day and I was like, this is what I want.
I love it. Well, I hope you have a fantastic, well-deserved day.
Thank you. And I have another milestone, which is the day that this episode drops. So on April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
It is my 20-year cancer-free anniversary.
Whoop, whoop.
So, I feel like that's pretty big. It's 20 years.
It's huge.
Just had a colonoscopy, so I know that other areas are fine too.
I know. All right on your, like, such a great gift, right on your, like, week of your birthday and all that.
You know, that would have really been sucky if something else came out of that.
Oh, gosh. Don't say that.
But anyway, it didn't, and it's fine. And today is 20 years cancer-free. And so this year, Beth is joining me. She's going to be on my team. I am going to ride in Pedal the Cause, which is a bike ride here in St. Louis that they do for cancer, like to raise money for cancer research. And my husband has been on the board and doing the event for like several years now. And it raises quite a bit of money for like as new of an event as it is. And so, because last year it was like $500,000 or something.
It's amazing.
Like they raised. So stay tuned for that because that's in September, but I'm going to make my team. And like I said, Beth is going to come and ride with me and Kelly, you all know Kelly. Kelly's going to come ride.
Yeah.
A couple other people are going to ride with me and join my team. So, and there are ways to do it virtually, people. So stay tuned.
Yeah, you could join the team virtually.
Yeah. You could do it on like a spin bike. I think they do like one like that, or I'm sure you could just ride around your neighborhood. I don't know.
Yeah. But
I'll post some stuff on it as it gets a little bit closer because also I'll be fundraising. So if you can't join physically, then maybe you might want to join us in that way by supporting the cause. So
is it, do you have a fun name for it? Or do you even know?
No, I've been thinking about that.
Because you could just do like Team Christy.
Right. Yes, I could. Yeah, I don't know.
But you should come up with a fun name.
I'll put Emery on that because he's good at coming up with like.
Oh, that's true. He's clever. Things.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Love it. Did he help us come up with the name of the pod? Do you know? I feel like he did.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't know how we came up with this name.
I don't either.
Has it been so long ago? Oh, happy 4 years, by the way. That's how long it's been.
That we'll keep forgetting to mention.
Yeah. We said like, oh, our podiversary was March 30th. And we totally forgot last week to say anything mm-hmm. about it or the week before. Here we are. Happy belated podiversary. What a big day.
I know. It was a big day that we only acknowledged on socials.
I did put a post up.
yes
cool. Okay,
so, anyway,
well, that's it. That's a lot of news.
Yeah, it was a lot of news. What else? You got anything else?
I have a crime. Look, it's balance.
Okay, that's right.
Okay. All right, here it is. Okay, my friend. On this Monday, we have another suggestion from our Aussie listener, Trish.
Oh.
Do you remember Trish? That's a British accent.
Didn't we go through this already last time?
Yes.
Because didn't she have the one that I just did, like last week or whatever? Because she sent in two at the same time, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the name? Was it Glenny? What's her name?
Yes, Glennis. Oh, so a couple of weeks.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
No, that'll. When is it?
It was last month.
Yes, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, same Trish. She sent in two cases. You got one. I got one. And they're both doozies. So we are going down under to a small town called Stirling, Australia.
Cool.
Okay. So this is in South Australia.
Okay.
And it is a few miles, maybe like 10 or so miles outside of Adelaide, which is the capital city of South Australia.
Okay.
So Stirling, however, only has a population of about 2,500 people.
Huh.
So it's very, very small, quaint. It looks beautiful. And it's on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wasn't mine close to the coast? Or no, that was a South African one, I think. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, no, this one is like on the water and it just really looks so pretty. And I looked at all these pictures of the town and the people look so happy. And I just kept thinking, I hope they don't have that spider rain that I have heard about. It's like real scary to me every time.
Oh, Trish, tell us about that sometime, please. Thank
you. Yeah. Is that a real thing?
Okay.
Is it a myth? We need to know. I hope it is. Okay. So to my knowledge, this is not a very well-known case over here in the U.S. of A, but it should be. Okay. So I'm very grateful to Trish for bringing it to our closet.
Okay.
So this is the case of Carly Ryan.
Okay.
Carly Ryan was born on January 31st of 1992 to her mother, Sonia Ryan. So I could not find her father's name reported anywhere. I don't know why. But I did find out that he passed away when Carly was only 5.
Okay.
So, and she had a younger brother as well. So Carly's mom raised her and her brother as a single parent, and the two of them, like Carly and her mom, were extremely close. Mm-hmm. Sonia was pretty young when she had Carly. I think she was only like 19 or 20. And so it was kind of one of those like where they grew up together. They told each other everything. They went everywhere together, had a very open, very sweet relationship, mm-hmm. from what I can tell. Carly is described as being an amazing young lady. She was compassionate, loving, and very sensitive. Everyone said that people just naturally gravitated towards her. Mm-hmm. So she seems great.
Yeah.
As a young teenager in the mid-2000s, Carly began spending some time online. On the old interweb. And during this time, which is wild to think about, there was no TikTok, no Snapchat, no Instagram, no Twitter. And Facebook was in its infancy. But do you know what was taking social media by storm in the mid-2000s?
MySpace.
MySpace, baby.
Life was so much simpler then.
Back in MySpace in your top eight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you totally judged if it, like, oh, I'm in so-and-so's top eight, or she kicked me out of her top eight. What the heck?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I tried to find our MySpaces, by the way.
Oh, you did? We talked about this. I totally did.
I actually really did spend a bit of time, and I think they must have been deleted.
You think so?
I couldn't find you or me, but I looked.
Interesting.
Because I was like, I want to know who's in Christy's top eight. No, I want to know who's in my top eight.
The website still exists, though, right?
It does. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Okay. I couldn't find him, sadly. Okay. So in 2006, 14-year-old Carly had herself a MySpace page, and she would use it to connect with people. Her and her mom and brother, they shared a computer in the mm-hmm. kitchen of the family home, which is also funny to think about, like the shared computer.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
We all have our own laptops and just walk around with them now, but mm-hmm. it was very different back then. So it was on MySpace that Carly met a boy named Brandon Kane.
Okay.
Brandon was 18 years old. He was actually born in Texas, but had moved to Melbourne at some point during his life.
Move.
Texas. Yeah, so Melbourne's in Victoria, which is kind of like a neighboring, what do they call them there? States.
Oh, yeah.
They're not states, but
in my case, the lady was found in Victoria. They were lived on the border of that and the other.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
We've been in Melbourne before for a case, actually, too. Okay. So Brandon was actually online friends with some of Carly's friends.
Hmm.
And so that's how they kind of connected. Mm-hmm. And the two of them began chatting because they had very similar interests in like music and writing and poetry and things like that. So Brandon was like an emo kid,
okay,
which was a really popular thing during the mid-2000s. It was like a whole vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, the dark makeup, spiky hair, very like into thoughts and philosophies and things like that.
Right.
So Carly and Brandon became pretty close, and they chatted back and forth almost every day. They would chat on MySpace. They would use Instant Messenger.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I think that's hilarious, too. You've got mail. And, like, every now and then they would talk on the phone, but, like, not very often. Most mm-hmm. of it was just, like, online communication. And Carly's mom, like, she was in the kitchen.
Right.
So she was right there. She would often look over her shoulder, read chats and messages, and all of them were pretty innocent. Like they would chat about their friends and what they were up to in school and music, like normal mm-hmm. stuff, no red flags whatsoever.
Okay.
On a few occasions, like I said, they would speak on the phone, and every now and then when they were talking on the phone, Brandon would talk to Carly's mom.
Okay.
You know, like, hey, Mrs. Ryan, you know, how are you today? Whatever. And he also would let Carly speak to his father, whose name was Shane. So they were actually getting to know each other's families as well. Mm-hmm. And their relationship continued to progress. And eventually both Brandon and Carly started having romantic feelings for each other. And so their conversations kind of started to lead that way, like, I think you're so beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. I love your mind, all that kind of stuff. So Carly really kind of fell pretty hard for Brandon. I mean, she's 14 years old at this time. Like, she's met this boy who's a little bit older and super interesting and, like, is from the U.S. And, you know, she thought, she told her mom, I think I may have met the love of my life.
Aw, 14.
Right. I know. So by January of 2007, Carly and Brandon had been chatting and getting to know each other for almost 18 months. So okay. A year and a half this went on. They would talk every now and then about meeting up in person, but they hadn't done that yet because, like, they were both in school and they lived in different, like, places. So the drive from where Carly lived to Melbourne was over an 8-hour drive.
Oh, wow.
So they live pretty far apart. And these are two teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they could just jump in the car and drive 8 hours or hop on a plane or whatever. Like, their means was less.
Yeah.
Okay. So January 31st of 2007, Carly was turning 15. And she was having a birthday party that weekend with her friends and family to celebrate. So Brandon was – she had invited him to come to the birthday party, but he actually was back in Texas visiting family in the U.S., so he wasn't able to. But he did reach out and said that his dad, Shane, was going to be in her area during the birthday weekend for work. And he asked Carly if it would be okay for his dad to bring her a birthday present from him since he wasn't able to make it.
Hmm.
Carly asked her mom, who was sort of hesitant, you know, because she's like,
yeah,
you don't know this Brandon guy. These are strangers. And now you're asking for them to come into my home. So what she did was she said she would meet Shane somewhere in town.
Okay.
And get to know him a little bit and, like, kind of get a feel for him and get a vibe and see if she was comfortable allowing him to come back to their home for the birthday party.
That's a good idea.
It is. Sonia is a smart lady. So she did. She met with him and the meeting actually went perfectly fine. So Shane, Brandon's dad, he worked in security. And I think that he did security for, like, celebrities. Hmm. So more like a bodyguard kind of situation. Okay. And he was wearing a security uniform when he met with her because he was there for work. She actually asked him for some identification even to prove that he really was who he said he was. He had a security badge. His name was on it, company name, all that stuff.
Wow. Good on you, mom, in 2006 or whatever
for
it was.
Real. Exactly. 2007.
Okay.
So Carly's mom was like, okay, he seems totally normal. He's like this dumpy old 40-something man who does security. He's, like, balding, has a beer belly. It's my daughter's boyfriend's dad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she allows him to come to the birthday party. So he gave Carly some presents from Brandon, which Carly loved. So it's, like, band t-shirts, you know, normal teenage stuff. And during the party, Carly's mom kind of started to notice that she was getting, like, kind of a bad vibe from Shane. Mm. So things kind of went differently once he was introduced to Carly. So instead of, like, sitting around and talking with the other parents and the adults at the party, Shane was, like, hanging out with Carly and her friends who were young teenage kids, right? Mm-hmm. And when he wasn't talking to Carly, mom noticed that he would, like, stare at her, like, kind of watch what she was doing, pay attention who she was talking to. Like, it started to creep her out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she had her eye on him. Towards the end of the party, Carly's mom went into her room to talk to her, and Shane was in her room with her, and they were both on the bed.
What? Nope. Not okay. Yeah.
There's nothing okay about that. That is, like, very inappropriate. You shouldn't be in her bedroom. Definitely shouldn't be in the bed. Like, time for you to go, buddy.
I mean, like, I don't even know that I would be, like, comfortable. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think about this, like, being like Emery being in Olivia's room sitting on her bed. Like, just because I don't know. It's just weird.
Like, you don't have any business in there.
No, like, fine. If y'all are going to go show me where your room is, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's cool. Cute. Bye.
I'll, like, stand in the doorway. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's just I don't know. It's just weird.
I agree. There's boundaries. And that was one. And he crossed it. And I agree. Yeah. Okay. So she tells him to leave. She was like, you're all done here, Shane. You need to get your stuff, get out of the house, like party's over, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. So at first, Carly was upset at her mom because she was kicking her boyfriend's dad out of their house and she was worried that it was going to affect her relationship with Brandon, who, remember, she's never met.
Yeah.
So things are not solidified as far as their relationship goes. And she really loved him. So she was like, oh, mom, please don't do this. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Like, everything's fine. Nothing was going on. Blah, blah, blah. But Carly's mom was like, no, I don't care. I have a vibe. He is creeping me out and he needs to get out of my house. Like, I'm done. It's my job to protect you. And she listened to her gut. So apparently, whenever she sent Shane packing back to Melbourne, he was less than gracious about the situation and kind of threw a fit, you know, like stomped around the house and grabbed his stuff and was slamming things and saying, like, you know, under his breath, like, he wasn't great about it, which just confirmed to Carly's mom that something was weird about him. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, how do you not understand that I did not like you in on my daughter's bed, sir?
Right.
Grown man, sir. So after Shane left, Carly then sat down with her mom and her mom explained, like, this is the things I've been seeing. He was watching you. He was kind of like not interacting with the grown-ups, more so you. And at some point, something clicked in Carly's mind and she was like, okay, I get it. I understand. And then she actually opened up that Shane had kind of creeped her out as well and said that he had tried to like grab the buckle of her pants, like almost like he was going to unbuckle it at one point during the party. And he would like walk up to her and kind of lift her shirt up and like pretend like it was an accident. So he's a predator, in my opinion. Like, these are inappropriate sexual advances towards Carly.
Yes.
I think. I mean, agreed. I don't think it, they actually are. Okay. So Carly's mom, when she finds this out, she was furious, obviously. And she wrote Shane an email and told him that Carly had opened up to her about this like inappropriate behavior and said that if he ever contacted Carly again, she would report him to the police.
Okay.
So good. She was like, you leave my daughter alone forever. Or I'm reporting you. Apparently, Shane responded that Carly was lying and like kind of made some like vague threats like towards Carly, you know, like you can't report lies about me. Like, don't think that I'm not going to, you know, retaliate, whatever. I don't
know. Now he knows where they live.
100%. Yeah. But Carly's mom was like, forget it, whatever. He's out of our life. He's a piece of crap. Okay. So obviously Carly was pretty upset that all this had gone down with her boyfriend's dad. I mean, you know, they had tried to get to know each other's family. She was worried it would cause a rift between her and Brandon, but it didn't. They actually kept talking. They kept communicating and they were pretty determined at this point to like meet in person. Like, okay, I've met your dad. That didn't go great. We need to meet. Let's see how that goes. They definitely knew that Carly's mom was not ever going to let her go to Melbourne because Brandon's dad was there and would be around. And she was like, you need to stay away from my daughter. So they kind of started to try to like save money and figure out how they could get Brandon to Stirling so the two of them could meet up. Okay. So meanwhile, while all that's going on Monday, February 19th of 2007, so Carly's 15 at this point, it was a normal summer day, which totally threw me because like in February in Australia is summertime.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And fun fact even about that, Trish, whenever she like I was communicating with her about this case, she was like, I hope you guys are braving the cold. It's dead of summer over here. I was like, oh, that's so funny because I just put that in my notes. It's weird to me that it's summer in February. But anyway, it was.
Yeah.
So she made plans that day to take the bus into Adelaide and meet with some of her friends at the mall and do some shopping. Very normal 15-year-old behavior. Yeah. I did it a million times. So this was extremely common for Carly and her friends to do. There wasn't like anything for them to do in Stirling because it was such a small town. So they would often go into like the big city, you know, going into the city, going shopping, hanging out. And after shopping, Carly was going to be spending the night with one of her friends.
Okay. Was she really?
We'll get there.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's a happy, fun summer day. What do you mean?
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I've already
had some thoughts. What else are we doing here?
Thoughts about this, and I just, that's the first one I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure your flags are flying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So Carly packed an overnight bag and got dressed and left her house around 4 o'clock that afternoon, planning to see her mom the next day after her sleepover. She was just going to take the bus back home.
Mm-hmm.
As she was leaving, she stopped at the door and she actually ended up giving her mom 4 big hugs because mm-hmm. she was just like, I love you so much. I love you so much. Right. You know, like yeah. super sweet. And she went skipping out the door and yelled, love you, mom.
Aw, mom.
Mom. Later that night, Carly's mom got a text from her saying she was okay and everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, Carly's mom got a phone call from someone. So this person said that they were walking on a path in Victor Harbor.
Okay.
And they had found a purse. They were able to, like, they looked through the purse to see if they could figure out who it was. And inside of it was Carly's ID.
Mm.
And some belongings. And then they also found like emergency phone numbers in the purse. And so that's how they had gotten Carly's mom's number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, or like it, there was something in there that said like home number, mom's number, or whatever. So they called the number. It was Carly's mom. So immediately Carly's mom went into panic mode because the town where Carly's purse was found was nowhere near the mall in Adelaide or the friend's house that Carly was supposed to be staying with.
Right.
So Carly's mom tried to call her, but her phone was turned off, which again was a huge panic for her. So right. she called the friends that Carly was supposed to have been with at the mall the day before, and then the friend that she was supposed to stay overnight with, and she learned that they hadn't seen Carly, and they had no plans to meet up with her at the mall or to have a sleepover.
Mm.
So Carly's mom called the police and reported her daughter missing.
Okay. Okay.
Meanwhile, while all that's going on, an hour away from Carly's house on Horseshoe Bay, which is a beach located in Port Elliot,
mm-hmm.
again, an hour away from Carly's house, a woman was walking by the water and saw a dead body floating face down not far from the shore. This was a young girl, and she appeared to have been badly beaten. She had no identification on her, so she was actually listed as Jane Doe.
Oh, gosh.
However, when police got Carly's missing persons report, they immediately thought that this might be connected and that Carly might be their Jane Doe. And Carly's purse was found, like, kind of near where this beach was.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, Carly's mom had the awful task of having to identify the dead body of her 15-year-old daughter as the Jane Doe.
I can't even.
No. Carly had been brutally beaten, suffocated, and thrown into the water. So her autopsy showed 19 separate injuries. She had sustained like 6 to 8 massive blows to her face and head, either with fists or a blunt object.
Mm.
She had extreme facial injuries and a lot of defensive wounds. The medical examiner also found beach sand in Carly's throat, which indicated that her face had been pushed into the sand and mm-hmm. she was suffocated that way, which is like so horrifically awful. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. So the cause of her death was listed as a combination of facial trauma and suffocation. Police immediately began asking the public for help, and Carly's case actually gained a lot of media attention. They obtained CCTV footage from Victor Harbor, which is where her purse was found, and it was mm-hmm. also the town like that this beach was in.
Mm-hmm.
Carly was seen meeting up with two men, outside of a hotel. One of the men was larger than the other one and seemed to be older. The three of them were seen also at a local fish and chips restaurant while eating, and then they're also seen later at a Subway. The older man is then seen buying cigarettes at a convenience store, And when they interviewed the store clerk, he remembered this man coming in, and he said that he asked him where would be a cool place to hang out and maybe like get a beer. And the clerk told him you should go to Horseshoe Bay, which is the beach where Carly was found. A couple also came forward to police and reported that they had seen these two men and Carly at the beach around 8:30 that night. So they had gone for a swim, like a night swim. And where they were swimming was right next to where Carly and these two men were sitting. They confirmed that one of the men was like a middle-aged man and the other one was much younger, likely a teenager.
Okay.
They said they left the beach about an hour later around 9:30, and the three of them, Carly and these two men, were still there like smoking cigarettes, hanging out, just talking. Nothing unusual. Police pulled up surveillance from the parking lot of the beach and were able to identify Carly and these two men pulling in and getting out of a light blue car. And they were also able to get a license plate.
Oh.
So police's main focus was to find the owner of that car, which thankfully they were able to do. And they traced it down to an address where the car was registered, which was in Mornington Peninsula, on the Mornington Peninsula, which is just south of Melbourne.
Okay.
So 11 days after Carly's murder, they raided that house where the car was registered, and they found a 48-year-old man sitting at a computer. And when they raided the house, he was chatting with a 14-year-old girl in Western Australia.
Shut up.
His name was Gary Newman.
Is it Shane?
Well, yes, it is Shane.
Okay.
And he was actually logged in to MySpace under the profile name of Brandon Kane, Carly's 18-year-old online boyfriend.
But is Brandon real? Like,
no.
Then
there's
who was with
nothing
him?
Real about Brandon. I will get to who was with him. Okay. That is a real twist in this story.
Okay.
So Gary, this man, this 48-year-old man, was a divorced father of three, and he had a 17-year-old son living with him in his home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so police arrested both Gary and his son, and they began searching the home. So they were able to confirm that Gary Newman had been posing as Brandon Kane, this 18-year-old emo kid from Texas, online for years. And he, the whole time, had been grooming Carly. They also found that he had tried to meet up with several other 14-year-old girls, both in Australia and in Hong Kong.
Okay.
But for one reason or another, those meetings never worked out. Mm-hmm. Like the girls wouldn't show up or they would cancel or whatever happened. So it was like he would just kind of go to the next one. Like, okay, I'm going to groom this girl, try to meet up with her. That doesn't work out. I'm going to go to the next one. He actually had also been grooming some of Carly's friends. But they like were not interested in his advances. Because remember I said that Brandon Kane, in quotes, was friends with some of Carly's friends on MySpace.
Right.
So when it didn't work out with her friends, they were like, oh, who's this girl that this person's friends with? Let me message her. Sick. Mm-hmm. So sick.
Mm-hmm.
Gary also had a fake MySpace profile for a man named Shane, who was posing as Brandon Kane's dad. Which, his name was Shane Kane.
Yeah, that's kind of like dumb.
That's the name you make up for yourself? That right there tells you are stupid. You are dumb, Gary. Okay. Police found a notebook where Gary had written down over 200 fake online personalities. So he had documentation of like their names and ages, and then the name and ages of the minor girls that he was communicating with, just to like keep track of it all. He had his like, he had like a predator journal.
It's like his little black book.
Seriously, of deviance and disgustingness. Yeah, hashtag that.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators were flabbergasted at the sophistication of his online predatory grooming and like everything that this man was doing. They were like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is an absolute organization to like go after these young girls.
Yeah.
This is just so crazy. So they also found discs with thousands of photos of child pornography in his home. So he is a pedophile.
He's a POS.
Yes, he is. So Gary told police that he thought of Carly like a daughter figure, and he had no sexual feelings towards her, and he cared for her a lot. And he claimed to have been very distressed when he learned that she had been murdered. He said that he found out from her MySpace page when people started posting like memories and condolences and that stuff on her page. So he claimed that he was with Carly the evening before she died, but they had left her in Victor Harbor and she was totally fine. Okay, so he claims that later. At first he's like, no, I never met up with her, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, hey, we have you on camera in your car. And so then he's like, well, yeah, but she was fine when I left. She went to the beach. That's normal for a 48-year-old man. Okay, Gary. Okay.
No.
Okay, so Gary went on trial in October of 2009. He testified in his own defense. And he acted crazy, like erratically, unhinged, like faked a seizure. It was insane. Okay, so his older son, not the 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Testified that Gary was angry that Carly had refused his sexual advances at her birthday party. And then when Carly's mom had banished Gary, Shane, aka, from communicating with Carly, he became even more enraged. And he said to his son, the one that's testifying, that he was going to go to Sterling and fix Carly up. Okay, so the son was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is Dad, that a saying in Australia?
Maybe. But I don't know. I should have Googled that, actually. I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, okay.
So he was like, okay, Dad, like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Why are you talking to a kid? Why are you sexually advancing yourself on her? Whatever, you're gross. Okay.
And the fact that you're admitting this to your own son, you tried to, like, seduce a 14-year-old. Like,
yeah, 15.
Seriously,
yeah.
Something's wrong with you in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the 17-year-old son who is living with him, he also testified. I'm going to tell you about him. I know you're like, why is she not talking about him? I'm going to tell you about him. I swear. It's really weird. Okay. So he testified as well that he had not participated in the online grooming of Carly under Brandon Kane's profile. But this is very heavily speculated against because why was he there? With them when they met, and like she talked on the phone to this alleged Brandon person, so like, and his dad, so they clearly have two different voices,
right?
So we don't really know. So his son, Gary's son, the 17-year-old, testified that his dad had asked him to go with him to meet Carly and like pose as this Brandon Kane person because he knew that Carly wouldn't just go with him. And because she was creeped out by him, and that Gary, like posing as Brandon, had told Carly that his dad, Shane, was just going to give him a ride, but wouldn't be hanging out with him. So Brandon had reached out to her and said, like, listen, my dad has to bring me. It's 8 hours. I can't come by myself, but he's not going to hang out. So that's why Carly had agreed to go meet up with him. And she told her mom that she was meeting friends because she didn't think she would approve. And when she got there, she was upset that Brandon's dad was there. So this kid said that when they got to the beach and they were hanging out, Gary made advances on Carly that she refuted. And Gary got angry and beat her up and shoved her face in the sand and then threw her in the water. And that he was just there and witnessed it and was terrified.
Oh, my gosh.
So he did report. He said, I didn't do anything to have anything to do with a murder or like this grooming or anything like that. I didn't know that was going to happen. But he did admit to not reporting it to anyone and to like helping his dad like discard Carly's purse. And then they also sent a text from Carly's phone to her mom that said, everything is okay. I'm good. So, okay. It also came out during the trial that sand and shells on the shoes of both Gary and his son matched the organic material that was found on the beach where Carly's body was found.
Okay.
They also found a like tip of a latex glove on the beach that had both Gary and Carly's DNA on it.
Oh, like so just a piece of one when you say a tip?
It was like the fingertip.
Okay.
Of a glove. So that would indicate premeditation. to a murder, because why are you bringing latex gloves to a beach? That makes no sense. And it's also the only forensic evidence to link Gary to the actual murder.
Right, because both their DNA is on it, victim and like
correct
predator. Yeah,
and also the sand too is is forensic, and but the sand matched his son, so we know he was on the beach. Plus, we saw him on the beach, but there was nothing that linked the son to the murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the reason why, so he was charged with murder and manslaughter, and was actually acquitted of both of those charges. No, the son,
okay.
17-year-old son. So because he was a minor, Australia's laws, the way that they work, he can never be named publicly.
Oh.
So we don't know anything about him. He's not spoken about in the media or newspaper articles or documentaries or anything at all. So it's like illegal to mention him.
Okay.
However, I did see in one source that he was acquitted of this, right? So he's a minor. He was acquitted. So they ruled you can't talk about him. You can't say his name. He can't be implicated. But I did read in a source that later on he went on to commit other sexual acts of violence.
Great. So,
but I couldn't confirm it because I don't know his name.
Right. I could see that law being beneficial for someone who truly was not part of it, like got caught up in – like mixed up in something, went on trial, was acquitted. And so like, rather than like totally ruin the life of somebody who literally didn't do anything.
I just don't believe he didn't do anything though.
No, I know. That's, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like that law seems like it's good for that kind of case, like where you're like, well, this person really didn't do anything. And so let's not ruin his life by having his name plastered on all the papers and being linked to this. But like, if you think somebody actually did it. Sucks.
Right. And something else that annoys me about it too is like, why did they not try? Okay, so he was acquitted of murder and manslaughter, which I can see that. There was no forensic evidence. He said he was there. He didn't know it was going to happen. Okay. Why wasn't he charged with other stuff?
Right. Yeah.
Like second degree murder or obstruction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or something else. Like,
yeah.
But he wasn't. I don't know why.
Accessory after the fact or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Okay, but he never was. So we don't know who he is. So there was so much online communication and fake names and fake profiles that the trial ended up lasting for 3 months, Gary's trial. In January of 2010, Gary was found guilty of first-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 29 years. So he will first be eligible for parole in 2039, and he would be 80 at that time.
Sheesh.
And the son has gone on to be a less than desirable human.
Right.
Okay, so Carly Ryan was the first person in Australian history to be murdered by an online predator.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first.
First ever. Carly's mom, Sonia, set up the Carly Ryan Foundation. So this is a not-for-profit that promotes internet safety and awareness. It's still in existence. I will link it. Statistics in Australia show that 25% of teenagers are contacted at some point online by a stranger.
See?
25%, dude.
That's a lot.
That's 1 in 4 kids are talking to strangers online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Carly's mom also helped create an app called Threads. So this would actually allow for a person to push a button on their phone and release their location and release tracking details to like chosen emergency contacts. Hmm. So like we can do that, but we go into our phones and hit like share my location and pick the people that we want to share it with. This would just be push a button and it would do it immediately.
Well, you know you can do that by like pushing your home button like 3 times.
Oh, I did actually know that. Yes.
Or something. One of those buttons that you have to like set it up and designate who it would go to. But same process.
Yes, we've definitely emergency contacted your mom before. Oh my gosh, I'm just remembering that now. Okay. Anyway, it's a whole nother story. Okay. So, but this is back now we have these capabilities, but I'm talking like 2007 era. She's like working on this. Like if Carly could have alerted me and told me where she was and that she was uncomfortable and in danger and that this creepy Shane man showed up, you know, could she have gotten there and could it have saved her? So Carly was cremated and her ashes were given to her mom. Carly's mom and the foundation also helped pass Carly's Law in Australia. So this law states that any online person that targets or plans to use their online persona to harm or like engage in sexual activity or inappropriate activity with a minor can be prosecuted. So this wasn't a law back in 2007 because we just didn't know about this kind of stuff, right, like this online predatory stuff. So her mom like paved the way for that to become a thing. The law has been beefed up several times. Like, so now it basically says that anyone who lies about their age online to a minor can be criminally charged for that too. It's like you can't
be just in Australia.
Carly's Law is just in Australia. Yeah. Yes. We have similar ones here in the US. Mm-hmm. And that one in Australia holds a prison term of up to 10 years. So like if you get online as a 50-year-old man and tell a 15-year-old girl that you're 15, you can go to jail for 10 years.
Wow.
Which is great.
What about the opposite? What about a younger kid pretending to be older so they could get an account on social media?
Oh, well, why are you asking, Christy? I know why you're asking. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. And also, I'm sure we have different laws in the U.S. Yeah. Maybe we should Google.
Well, I'm just saying like that's interesting. Like I get it. That's a great law. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2013, Sonia Ryan, Carly's mom, was actually named Southern Australia's Person of the Year.
Yes.
Right. For all her hard work, outreach, and community awareness. She's won several awards since then as well. So like she's a freaking awesome person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She does speak publicly about Carly's story and the dangers of online activity. And she admits that both she and Carly were very naive to the dangers of all of that back in like 2006 and 2007.
I would agree, but I would disagree. She was like, I mean, she should have never let that guy in the house. But like,
well, she asked did, for identification.
She did what she could.
Absolutely.
Probably more than a lot of people would have done, actually. Well,
exactly. And I think that is why she fights so hard.
Yeah.
That this doesn't happen to someone else. Because she was like, listen, I did everything I knew to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So we need more awareness and more, you know, like avenues to be able to prosecute these predators. She said publicly that she will never forgive Gary for grooming, luring, and murdering her daughter, and that she hopes he suffers and rots from the inside out. So
same.
She is not forgiving Gary, period.
Mm-hmm.
So Carly's case is definitely super sad. It's very scary, but it really highlights that catfishing and grooming and online predatory behavior is extremely deceiving. It can happen to anyone, even if you try your best, or anyone's kids.
Yep.
And it's important to talk about. So I appreciate Trish bringing this to our attention. And that is the case of Carly Ryan.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Trish, because Beth knows this, but I have had a tab on my – I'm looking at it right now on my computer to do like a social media like awareness kind of episode with like stories like this for just like be aware. I mean, 1 in 4 kids. That means your kids probably all have at least 4 friends. One of them.
I have 3 children of my own. You have 3 children.
Yeah.
So essentially two, one of my kids and one of your kids.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like that is freaking scary. And I do know that my kids have talked to people they don't know online. Like I know because one plays Fortnite and I caught him like playing somebody else and realized that it was like some 18 or 21 year old and he was like 8. And I'm like, no, nope, you are shut down. You are not allowed to play with anybody that you are not friends with. I need to know that they are that they're actually your friend. Like, it's a kid, like, oh, okay, that one is that kid from school.
Like, you know,
okay,
them in great. Person.
Like, mm-hmm. I've talked to them on the phone. Like, I will put, like, his headphones on and be like, yeah. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Joe. Listen,
and also something specifically related to Fortnite is that I just, like, found out not too recently so, like, my kid plays Fortnite, and he can only talk to his friends.
Yeah, yeah. Same
but
now.
His
yeah.
friends' friends mm-hmm. can also join in.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, you can protect your kid and lock their account down to being friends only, but I don't know if his friends' parents are doing that exact same thing.
Right.
So and I don't
so they
know
can be in a party with
yes,
your kids.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And with who knows who at mm-hmm. that point. It's like there's just – it's so difficult to monitor it and boundary it, and I think. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
it scares the holy bejesus out of me.
Yeah. If you're private, you should be private. No, I mean, because think about it. Like, I don't know. Like, my – personal Instagram is private, and so like if you were to share something I posted, other people that I'm not friends with could not see it, you know, like, or whatever, or send it to right. somebody anyway. So like I really think it should be like if it's private, it's private, like mm-hmm. not my friends can also see yeah, it just because
friends
they're friends
only.
With them, like
exactly.
just my friends.
That's I 100% it. Agree. It really scares me. It's so relevant.
Yeah,
it's so relevant right now. So mm-hmm. like, and I think we do have a lot more awareness, obviously. Like, we have the whole Tinder swindler, and like, people are talking about this now. Like, it's right. in the news. It's not something that I think you can get away with as easily as you could in Carly's day.
Right. Yeah.
But it's yeah. still absolutely terrifying, and you have to be vigilant, not only with your kids, but with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get hacked sometimes. Our podcast page gets extremely weird messages and, like, mm-hmm. you know, junk stuff. And you really have to be careful what you're putting out there in the interweb.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I even get on my husband because he's, like, all, like, not private in anything, totally mm-hmm. public. And I'm like, dude, why do you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, he does it for, like, networking and whatever and yada, yada, yada. So I kind of get it. But I'm still like, dude. You met that guy in an airplane.
You don't right.
know that he was who he was on the airplane. Like, he could have totally right. BSing you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, whatever. Like, but yeah, for sure. Like, these kids, like, that probably terrifies me more than anything else. Like,
mm-hmm.
literally. I'm not mm-hmm. worried. Not that I'm not worried, but I don't overly, like, worry about my teenager that drives getting into an accident. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I don't really worry about my little guy getting kidnapped in front of my house. But, like,
right.
that stuff, like, literally terrifies me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's real.
Yeah.
Stay safe, y'all.
Yes. Thanks, Trish, for sending us that one.
Yep.
Man, now I really want to go to Australia. I want to shake Trish's hand.
I know. Yeah. She's awesome, by the way. She is, like, so sweet and supportive and just love you. Love you, Trish.
Yeah. Yeah. Love you. Okay. Well, let us know. What you got for us? Got any stories? Anybody have an actual story about this that they want to, like, share?
Have you been catfished?
Ooh, yeah.
Come on our Patreon if you have.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. We can only, we'll share it with, like, 40 people.
It's yeah. See? It's a lot less scary that way.
Yeah. Do a poll, too, maybe.
Okay.
People who are willing to share, clearly, if they're willing to share, they're willing to share. But if not,
right.
it's totally fine. Totally understand that. So, because I, you know, some people might not want to tell people that story. But anyway, yeah, let us know. We'll check out our social media for maybe possibility of, like, seeing how many of our listeners this happened to at some point, something like it. So, anyway, come check us out next week for another great episode, as I know they will be. Gosh, we're so dang great.
We can say that because we're at the end and we know if you're still listening, you love us. And so,
yes. Exactly. Yep. But also, I'm going to say we know we're so dang great because our listeners are so dang great and you guys are the ones that are sending us in these cases. So, like, you know, that's why I can say it because I feel like I'm not just tooting our horn, I'm tooting everyone else's too. So, anyway. Yeah. Anyways, we'll see you next week. And just always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closets.